Thanks, everyone, for being here this morning. Although when the speakers and their colleagues make up roughly 25% of the audience, you know it's a Wednesday. So, as Muriel mentioned, I'm a faculty member at ASU in the nutrition program, and there's a small contingent of faculty there who are interested in the intersection between health behavior change interventions and technology, and this study that I'm going to present to you is sort of an outgrowth of that interest. So this was a feasibility study to look at use of smartphone apps for dietary self-monitoring within the context of a small pilot weight loss trial. And I have relationships to disclose, which I feel like is a really sad thing and lonely thing to have to say, right? I have no relationships to disclose. I feel like I want to say, but I'm doing okay. Yeah. So anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about dietary self-monitoring. I won't spend much time because I'm sure you're well familiar with the traditional tools we use for that. I'll talk a little bit about technological innovation within the space, the study we conducted, the results, and then where we're going with that. And this, by the way, is a screenshot actually from my own phone of the app that we used for this study, just so you could see what it looks like when it's initializing. It's the Lose It app, and I'll describe that in more detail. I also wanted to point out, though, for those of you who have AT&T as a carrier, I do, and I needed pictorial proof because I had 4 bars of connectivity. And if you have AT&T, you know that is like a veritable impossibility. So I needed to to have that in one of my slides. Okay, so dietary monitoring. We're well familiar with the tools that are used. You can make use of a 24-hour dietary recall to get a snapshot of people's dietary intake, but a detailed one. Or you could use food frequency questionnaires, which allow you to get a sense of dietary patterns, food group intake like fruits and vegetables, or maybe overall beverage intake, sugary beverages, and so forth. You can also use dietary records, which give you a broader picture of what people are consuming, but still relatively detailed, so 2 or 3, 4, 7 days worth of diet records. So all these things allow us to get at dietary data of the participants or clients or patients we work with, but of course they're rife with limitations, and there are a number of those. I have just 3 here. For each of these things, we have to rely on the participant's accurate recall, right? So they have to think back to breakfast or lunch the previous day, for instance, and try to remember not only what they consumed, but the details of what they consumed. So that peanut butter and jelly the day before for lunch, they have to remember, well, was this regular jelly or low-sugar jelly? Was it on white bread, wheat bread, whole grain bread? And all these things have implications for our analyses of dietary data, so it could have an impact on the fiber that we note in their diets, or the sugar intake, and so forth. Consistency in reporting is also a problem, so people can remember to log their breakfast, lunch, or dinner, but may forget, for example, snacks that they hadn't planned on, or their 2 p.m. coffee break where they had cream and sugar in their coffee. And those sorts of things can have impacts on our analyses also. And then finally, respondent burden. So regardless of the method that you use, people have to sit down and provide data in some way, shape, or form, and that can be problematic, especially if you're running interventions that require people to be consistent over a longer period of time. But we know that dietary monitoring and self-monitoring in particular is a really important strategy to help people not only lose weight but maintain that weight loss success. So data out of the National Weight Control Registry, for example, would suggest that this is one of the few strategies that is consistently noted as helpful in people's weight loss success. But still, it suffers from the limitations I just noted. And so there have been calls recently for innovation in this space, especially given all the technology and gadgetry we have available to us now. Much of the innovation in dietary self-monitoring has happened online. And so we have lots of web-based tools, websites people can go to, log in, and then provide their dietary data. ASA24, which is the National Cancer Institute's 24-hour dietary recall system, would be an example of that. And there are many other web-based research-oriented or consumer-oriented mechanisms like this. But of course, still, they have their own issues. And even going online and recording your dietary intake can sometimes take as long as even sitting down with paper and pencil and doing that. So it's still problematic. But more recently, there's been a lot more focus on use of mobile technologies for behavior change intervention delivery as well as dietary data recording. And it makes sense, especially when it comes to phones. So 83% of Americans now own a mobile phone, and 45% of Americans actually own a smartphone. And the percentage is higher in younger generations, so 66% of those 18 to 29 years of age actually own a smartphone. So this is a really nice way, potentially, to deliver behavior change interventions and allow people to self-monitor their dietary intake. But what's interesting is that very few studies, if any, have actually looked in particular at smartphone apps for dietary self-monitoring and the success of those, the feasibility of that. even though there are hundreds, if not thousands, of health-focused apps out there, and dozens, if not hundreds, of apps that are oriented towards dietary self-monitoring. So we are using, in this study, we use the Lose It app, which is a really popular one. They boast on their website that over 13 million pounds of weight have been lost using the app, which who knows how accurate that is, but it certainly is suggestive of how popular the app is. So this is what it looks like. This original page here is what first comes up, and what you can see is that the feedback the user gets is in the form of that calorie gauge. So the app programs a calorie allotment based on your age and gender, activity level, and your weight loss goals. So if you want to lose 1 pound, for instance, of weight a week, it will calculate that deficit within your calorie budget per day. And as you record foods, as this schema shows, it will add in the calories and continually knock off the amount of calories then that you have left for the rest of the day. And you can also actually record exercise with this app. So we wanted to use this app. It was a simple, straightforward, but seemingly comprehensive tool. We wanted to use this app to see if it was feasible for dietary self-monitoring within this weight loss trial that we designed. So this was an 8-week study. We recruited adults between the ages of 18 and 65 years who were smartphone owners. Because this was a pilot study and we had a small N, we stratified first by age and gender, and then we semi-randomized from there into 3 different groups. And so we compared smartphone app use with 2 other groups, Memo users who actually recorded their dietary intake every day using the Memo function on their smartphone, or Notes function depending on the phone that you have, and then paper and pencil users who had the sort of traditional dietary notebook where they had dietary records they recorded day by day with pen or pencil kind of thing. So we trained everybody within the study to attempt 1 pound of weight loss a week. And so the app was programmed to account for that within the calorie budget. And then we asked the app users to simply follow that guidance throughout the rest of the trial. The Memo and paper and pencil users received basic exchange system counseling. So in the same way that the app calculated a calorie budget, we calculated a calorie budget for the individuals in the 2 other groups and then built up an exchange system for them to, you know, to track their diet throughout the study. And then we counseled everybody to try to exercise daily, roughly about 150 calories worth of exercise a day, in a loose attempt to sort of standardize exercise across the groups. And we gave them a guide that showed them different types of exercises and intensities and durations that would equate to that. Every group got a bit of dietary counseling at the outset in terms of attempting to increase fruit and vegetable intake, be active consistently, and record your dietary data consistently. The app users thereafter only had the app guidance. The other 2 groups got weekly emails reminding them of those messages, so they got a little bit of dietary counseling throughout the rest of the study. And then each of these groups reported back their dietary intake. The app automatically emails, and so we had it email us. The Memo groups captured their data into an email, and they sent that to us. And then the paper and pencil groups would just simply turn in their dietary logs. So in terms of data collection, it was really straightforward. We looked at weight pre to post. We also actually calculated dietary quality using the Healthy Eating Index 2005 methodology, which is just a broad indicator of overall dietary quality. And we did that based on a subset of diet records that we had everyone complete pre and post. And then we also were, because this was a feasibility study, we were primarily interested in the completeness of data recorded. So we categorized each day throughout the study in terms of dietary data and called that day a complete day if they recorded greater than 800 calories worth of intake, based on some previous studies that used a similar cutoff. It was an incomplete day if they recorded between 1 and 800 calories, and then it was simply a missing day or no data day if there was no data recorded at all. So to get to results, what you can see here is that when we look at the groups at baseline across a number of variables, there are no differences of any kind. When we get to looking at complete days recorded, this is where we see some differences. So the app group recorded roughly 43 days of complete data. The Memo group, about 35 days, and the paper and pencil group, between 30 and 31 days. And there was a significant difference between the app group and the paper and pencil group. No difference between app and Memo, or Memo and paper and pencil. When we look at weight loss across the trial, as well as dietary quality, we did see a significant difference in weight over time within the groups. Unadjusted analyses showed no difference in weight loss between the groups. When we controlled for potential confounders, there was actually a significant difference in weight loss among the groups between actually the app and Memo groups, but not between app and paper and pencil. or memo and paper and pencil. Now, the ATI scores, the dietary quality scores, were interesting. There were no significant differences here, but you notice a trend. The app group, which, again, didn't receive dietary counseling, they just had sort of the calorie budget they use every day, their dietary quality actually trended downwards, while the memo and paper pencil groups that got weekly messages, you know, to think about fruit and vegetable intake and so forth, they trended upwards in dietary quality. Again, no significant differences here, but interesting trends, intriguing anyway. When you look at subcategories of HEI, so I've got here whole grain, total vegetable, total fruit, saturated fat and sodium. Here again, either memo or paper and pencil groups trended upwards in terms of quality, while the app group, which is the darker bar there, stayed right around baseline levels or trended just a bit downwards. So this is interesting, we think, because app technology is now becoming just seamlessly integrated into our lives. And apps offer this really consumer-friendly way to send and receive data of all kinds. I've got another, actually, screenshot of my phone here. And this is just the front page of the number of different apps pages that I have on my phone. And look at all the functionality you have just on a single page now. And we don't think about this anymore, but you've got a clock there, maps, weather, my calendar, without which I would be a failure in life, all of my social media, messaging, contacts, my photos and camera, right? And then on the bottom there is the actual phone functionality, access to email, access to the internet, and then finally media. That's all just on one page. And we're very used to using this iconography to get at really intuitive mini programs to allow us to send and receive information, all right? Oh, and I wanted to make note that my connectivity was short-lived. It went back to two bars. I hate AT&T. So we're really interested to see how apps can be used in future studies, especially in terms of long-term studies. We think this poses an intriguing possibility for behavior change intervention delivery, in particular because I'm holding onto my phone now, it's with us all the time. So if we're interested in consistent and potentially accurate dietary data collection, you now have a device that you can go to in real time without having to do anything different in your day. It's right there for you to pull out, and as you're eating, add dietary data if you like, rather than going to a computer or doing something that is out of the ordinary in your everyday life. We're also interested in how an app plus dietary counseling might improve weight management success. Given these trends, again, no real differences there, but the trends are suggestive of something worth looking more into. And so we actually do now have a study going. My collaborator on this study is now looking at use of an app with more specific dietary counseling to see how that might improve weight loss. Yes, it was the memo that actually achieved the greatest weight loss. So again, it's a small pilot study, so you know, take the results with a bit of a grain of salt. It was a small N, but it's interesting that you know they all were able to achieve weight loss. And the memo, even though it's not app-based, it was still smartphone-based, so that's interesting in and of itself as well. Mm-hmm. So I would just like to thank my collaborators, and thank you very much. And I look forward to your questions.